You're listening to Lab Notes by PlayLab, where we focus on gameplay, communication, and wellness. Let's get to the lab!
Hey, welcome back to Lab Notes. I am your host with the most, Spoonman. I'm here with Jared.
Happy April, everyone.
And Evan.
Howdy.
April showers. It's actually raining right now, which is awesome.
Yes.
But we're in Michigan, in case you're listening from other parts of the world. But those that want to come inside and play games, what's going on at the lab?
We got a jam-packed April. We're starting off with our Fortnite League. It is a duos league, so that's going to be starting up here in about 2 weeks, starting on the 16th. It's running for 3 weeks, so there's time to get signed up. A lot of our players end up being a little bit younger, more in that like 13 to 17 range. So if you know anybody that plays at that age and they want to get a kind of new experience of competing in person, sign up for the league. And if you don't have a teammate, we have two social gaming nights specifically for middle school on April 10th and 14th. Then we have a couple more social nights throughout the month. So we have a Fortnite social night for anyone to come out. And then we have an adult social night we're planning too. So our adult listeners, if you're looking for a night to just come out to the lab and enjoy playing with other adults, check that out on our calendar. All of the things we have coming up at the lab are out on the website. So if you go to playlabs.gg and jump over to the booking tab, you have to scroll down a little bit. We're working on optimizing that a little bit, but scroll down and you'll see all the stuff we have. You can filter by game. We're excited for the things that are coming up here.
Is there a date yet for the adult gaming night, or is that or possible dates?
Yeah. We have a couple that we've identified. For those of you that don't know, PlayLabs does operate out of a wonderful community center in Farmington Hills. So our hours are a little limited. We don't have super late night stuff yet, but we're working on finding some specific dates for that. You guys will know about that well in advance. But the adult social night is the 27th of April. So the end of the month, from 4 p.m. to close, we're doing an adults only.
Is that a
Saturday?
Okay. Yep. All right.
So come out, play some games. We close usually around 7 o'clock, then go out to the bar with some new friends.
We're not condoning drinking and gaming, but...
drinking after gaming.
After gaming, yes. Cool. All right. I'm just asking about the date because it's probably something I would like to get some people out here for. And I know Evan needs to get his guys out here and see the place. So
yeah, that would be a great
That's a good time to do it.
It might be the day we're looking at having an awesome company-wide thing, too. So
cool.
A little after-hours type of action. Yeah. But that's not for the public. That's
no.
For the cool people that work with within the Diginetics family.
This week, we're jumping into... what's going on with the hardware, right? We did have an episode, a few episodes back, where we talked about the situation going on with Xbox and the possibility of them getting out of the hardware business and some of the ideas behind that. So this is kind of a continuation of that, spawned by the rumors that there is going to be a PS5 Pro. Specs aside, do you guys think it's too early for that? Is it right on time? I'm not going to say too late, but...
I would say it's probably right on time. When did the PS4 come out and then the PS4 Pro drop? Was it a couple years difference?
That's a good question. I want to say maybe 3 years.
3 years? And yeah, I mean...
because this has been, the PS5 has been out for four, right?
Yeah.
For this holiday?
Yeah.
And then you've got the fact that you couldn't get it for like a year and a half.
If not longer, depending on where you were at, right?
Yeah. So.
About 3 years apart.
PS4
released in November of 13, and then the PS4 Pro released in November of 16.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I wonder if this was planned to be maybe something sooner, and then, you know, with the pandemic, it maybe screwed things up. I mean,
right.
We saw that a lot with development of games and, you know, I'm sure certain consoles as well. I don't know. I'm interested to see exactly what it all has, you know, the actual specs related, but I don't know. I would say it's probably right around the right time for them in terms of their schedule, I guess. I don't know how other people would, you know, say if it's too late or, you know.
Console gaming doesn't seem to be really driven by demand. Mm-hmm. Like, they create their own demand.
Yeah.
In that regard. Hey, our current console generation is doing great, so... but we've been selling them for so long, we need to make more money selling something else. It's just kind of like TVs, right? The whole 3D TV was never going to happen, but hey, we got this thing. We're going to have you sit in your living room, put these glasses on, and now this is another, this other cool experience that nobody asked for.
Yeah.
But hey, we need to sell some more TVs because TVs are lasting for too long.
Right.
You know, is it the same thing with consoles? Like, they last? I have three PS5s and three Xbox Series X's. Stupid ass name. They should come up with a new console with a better name. And not one single time have I ever said, boy, this thing's really dragging. You know? So why would I upgrade?
Yeah, I think that you're probably spot on with it, just kind of with them creating their own demand for it. I mean, I've never heard a friend say, like, oh my gosh, this thing's chugging, I need to get, you know, they need to come up with a new console or something. Like, I've never heard anybody say that. The bigger question for me is, with an upgrade like this, what do I need it for? Like, what games are on PlayStation that I can't play right now on the PS5 that aren't working well enough? You know, I mean, you got to have some pretty big updates or upgrades to that console, I think, to really show that it's next gen in that sense. But I mean, like, God of War Ragnarok ran fine, and that was a launch title for it, really. So I mean, I don't see, not a launch title, but you know, it was one of the first party titles that was made for it. A lot of that you didn't really have. So yeah, I don't know, that's my question.
Is this a gambit to keep up with PCs?
It's a fair
That's a good question, right? Like, they know that that's a challenger. Like, there was a long time where that wasn't really a challenge, right?
Well, now with the walls of exclusivity coming down, which talked about that, I think, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Go and listen to that episode. Yeah, with more and more games becoming available on every platform and less console exclusivity, they got to have some reason for someone to not just go out and buy a PC. I don't think PCs will ever replace the sit on your couch and play games, because that's a completely different experience.
Sure.
But I haven't had that in a long time, and I'm okay with it. And more people are discovering that, you know, having a console is almost a luxury, and the PC is becoming the commodity. So they want to make sure that people don't feel like they need to make that switch. Not that they wouldn't buy it, but if someone already has a PS5 that's working fine, and they're going, okay, well, you know what, I want to check out PC, I want to see what that's all about, and their decision is between buying the new PS5 Pro or buying a PC, they got to make a decision. They're probably not going to buy both.
So do you think that the purchaser of a PS5 Pro is actually a new console purchaser?
Like, brand new to it?
Yeah.
I'd say very small amount of people, probably. I'd say there's probably a couple, but, like, I'd say most of them have had a PS5, and they're like, fine, I'll get the upgrade, or I'll wait for the upgrade for the PS5, and that's my first,
There's a much larger percentage of people that are buying into PCs in the last 5 years that are brand new to PC, as opposed to people that have never had a console and are just now buying a console, just because consoles have been a staple for so long, dating all the way back to, you know, Nintendo 64. You know, you always had it. And my brother-in-law, like, every time a new Xbox came out, every time a new console came out, he would buy it right away. And that's kind of still a thing for him. But I don't know if he's going to buy the just upgraded version of a console. He always waited for the new one to come out. It wasn't about the, you know, the upgrades.
The in-between stuff.
Yeah, the in-between stuff really hasn't existed up until now with what they're releasing. I didn't even know the PS4 Pro was a thing. I've been so detached from console, and I prefer an Xbox anyways, but...
Yeah,
and I don't even remember how big of a leap it was for the PS4 Pro. I mean, you had some benefit there. I mean, the biggest thing at the time was, the hardest game to run was probably Red Dead. And let's be honest, the Pro didn't do it much better. So, I mean, that's, like I said, that's kind of going back to my original question of, if they are coming out with this, what is the... How big of an advantage, or how, like, big of an upgrade is it for people to spend another $500 on it?
And will they notice it?
And will they even notice
that?
How do they market it? You know,
that, well, I mean, without you telling us the numbers, without Sony saying, here's what this is, and this is why you should care, I promise you that nobody's going to put them side by side and go, wow, what a difference.
Right.
Right?
No.
If you didn't tell me that this was better, and that, I honestly go even to the PC side of things, I went from a 3080 to 4090, and it's not like I went, wow, until I put the frame counter on the screen and I said, wow. But other than that, if you take that off, I didn't know, nor did I care. You know, realistically, I'm not like, wow, if you're sitting there looking at a game going, look, you can see the dew drops on the leaves. How often are you doing that? You're doing it the first time, like with Red Dead. Wow, look at how amazing the dust kicks up from the horses and look at all the muscles that you can see in there. What? That's the first thing you're doing. And then you're going, all right, and go back to the game. And I could care less.
Want the lab to yourself? Host a private party and get exclusive access to our entire 3,000 square foot gaming lab for your birthday party, bachelor or bachelorette party, or company event. Visit playlabs.gg/party to book today. Use the promo code podcast for a $50 discount.
Now, if they came out and said GTA 6 is only available on the PS5 Pro and the Xbox Series X Plus XY, or whatever the hell they end up calling a better version of the Xbox.
And PC.
You know, and PC. If they said that, and that's it, the minimum specs are a PS5 Pro, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I guarantee it's going to come out. It's going to be compatible with the PS4.
Of course.
And PS5. At that point, you're going, all right, man, so I can still play it on a PS4. And if you didn't have the PS5 Pro sitting next to me and tell me that it was better, I probably wouldn't care.
The thing is, right, is that, yeah, like you said, if you put them together, like, nobody's really doing that. Nobody at home is doing that, right? You're going to have certain tech channels that'll probably do the same thing to compare it. But nobody else is really going to do that on their own. But I think that, like we were talking about, like, it's important to know, like, how is this going to impact the everyday person who's going to get it? Like, what are they really going to be able to tell? And I'm curious to see how Sony markets that to people, because at the end of the day, right, if it's another $500 console just for, I mean, judging by, like, the rumors, it's supposedly around 45% faster. So you're spending another $500 for a 45% upgrade? I mean,
I don't think it'll be 500. It's going to be 7.
You think it's going to be 700?
Yep. It's going to be $699. That's my... write that one down. it'll be more accurate than my guess on
Pal World.
But
I'm curious to see what tech they put into it. I saw one of the bigger things was the PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution upscaling, which is wild.
Mouthful.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like Apple. You just make shit up.
Yeah.
Say, oh, you need this super awesome functionality.
Yeah.
I feel like Spectral and Super are both fluff words.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to see.
So how many adjectives can you put before the thing?
So that's supposed to not rival, but that's supposed to kind of go after the DLSS NVIDIA stuff, which for anybody who plays on PC knows that that is a huge increase in performance off of whatever you're using. I know that, like, Cyberpunk uses it to great effect, to where you can go from, like, having a 50 FPS, you know, area to going to 70 or 80 or 90 even. You know, you're getting super smooth frame rates at that point. There were some games when the PS5 came out where they didn't run how they were supposed to. Like, you had Marvel Spider-Man, I think it was maybe a Spider-Man 2, or it was, I know playing a couple games on there where you could choose between quality or performance. So you could play 60 FPS, but you wouldn't get ray tracing, and that's how they kind of got people, I think, was they were like, it will have ray tracing, it will be capable of this, and then it'll have 60 FPS at 4K or whatever they were saying, and then you got in and every game had quality or performance. Oh, so I don't get both of these. I have to pick and choose what I want.
Yeah, and we're talking a lot about PlayStation. What has been Xbox's response to this? Any rumors coming out of that Microsoft group?
Well, I haven't heard anything.
So when they had
rumors,
they had the lawsuit, a lot of those screenshots came out of what they were doing, and that was mostly efficiency. It was efficiency. It was more green, you know, packaging and all that sort of stuff, like, to, you know, cut down on that sort of stuff. But there was no real big increase in performance. It was pretty much just a redesign of the consoles themselves and smaller frames. I think, like, you know, more form-fitting factors, I guess. And
because people don't want a mini fridge for a console?
Well, now they turn it into... I think the screenshot I saw was like, it's just a
mini-er fridge.
It's a, like, cylinder or something now. Or it's like a weirder shape.
Like an Alexa shape?
Kind of.
But that's the thing, right? Like, if that device is a showpiece of your aesthetic of your living room, I guess, right? But you go down this road of, I know a lot of console players that play on a monitor within, you know, 18 inches to 2 feet of their face.
Yeah.
And that they only go and use their giant 60-inch, 80-inch TV for watching movies and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You're basically migrating the console players. You're slowly injecting the PC world to them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, my console's on a desk in my office. Yeah. Oh, okay. And I'm using a monitor now. Oh, okay. Well, hold on, man. We're just going to swap that.
Yeah.
We're going to see exactly right. I mean, with a mouse and a keyboard. Okay, we're going to swap that console box with a PC. You know, hey, and when you're done with that, you can switch to reading your emails and or browsing the web. I have purchased the upgrades in the past, like the PS4 Pro I did get.
And you got the, what was it, the Xbox?
One X.
One X, that was the...
Oh, released. Yeah, whatever.
I don't think
their naming just needs to stop. They should just fire whoever's naming that crap. and just, you know what, give it a name. Either be dumb like Sony and just increment the number.
Yeah.
Or give it a name and call it something cool. Like, what was the...
The one that they have, this refresh
like is called Scorpio or something.
It was Scorpio, I think, for the One X. This one, this refresh for the Series X is called Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the Series S is called Elwood.
Well, that's another thing, right? Why even have two? Just, come on, that's ridiculous.
Right. Well, because, what, Series S is just all digital?
And then the Brooklyn this all digital Series X.
Oh, that one's being an all digital one now as well, yeah.
And the Elwood is just like a slimmer... Or they're both supposed to be.
The Series S was a spec-wise was lesser. So the PS5 is the PS5, and you had the PS5 with and without a disc. And that was the only difference.
Digital, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had an X and an S, and the S was the slower version, effectively less capable version of
space, I think, maybe too.
There's a whole bunch of specs. I mean, basically, it's entry level Xbox.
Right.
Hey, I don't have a console, or hey, my kid's really young and I don't know if they're going to like this.
Right.
Only spend a few $100 instead of $500 and that kind of thing. So, but I think we're at a point where, you know what? We're at a point where we have $27 hamburgers. So you're going to have to, if you want to play on a console and play video games, which is clearly not necessary for your life, then you have to pony up.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not worried about, because what happens is when we as gamers have to suffer for those that want to have this lesser device because the developers have to make sure that they can make it work. And I think overall it brings gaming down to say, okay, well, we want everybody to play games. All right, well, there's a limit.
There's only so much.
You know, there's only so far you can go back where you go, okay, we need to support the PS1 with GTA 6.
Gaming should be accessible to everybody.
Sure.
And that's why places like PlayLabs exist. We have Flex Gaming where you can come in and you can pay an hourly rate and it's really affordable. And you could try PC gaming and have a great time doing it. Maybe you don't have a PC at home and you don't, you know, have the ability to afford a $1,500 investment. Well, $50 a month, you can play unlimited time at the lab. So,
yeah.
And now this isn't everywhere. PlayLabs isn't everywhere. So for those of you that are in the middle of nowhere and, you know, if you're listening to this and you can't afford a console, at that point it's like, sorry, too bad. You'll maybe be able to get it eventually. But it's, again, it's not a necessary thing. Though it does seem like more and more entertainment systems, almost like your living room, is run off of this stuff. Like I remember when I went by my brother-in-law's house and he had the brand new Xbox and like, he ran TV out of it. He ran his streaming services out of it. Like gone were the dish box and the input switcher to get to DVDs and all these different things. It was all through this one console, which was really cool. It was different, but it consolidated it. So in that respect, it wasn't necessary, but they had it. So it worked that way. It's like,
well, I think that whole thing is changing a little bit, right? Like I know you, Evan, you watch TV on your PC.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you do watch in the living room with the big TV, but you also spend, I'd say you spend more time watching it.
I would say I do that mostly out of convenience. You guys really like watching Chicago Med on the TV, so I don't really want to take up the TV because I watch, you know, stuff like Game of Thrones and whatnot. You're not really like wanting to, people don't want to be walking around the house just listening to like stuff like that. Chicago Med's a bit different, but I like doing that. I don't have I've watched Oppenheimer, I think another 2-3 times on my PC, which is obviously doesn't compare, but
sure.
I don't mind doing stuff like that. I don't feel weird about it or like I need to watch this on a TV. It's convenience, right? And it works. It works quite well.
I guess I'm still questioning it. Is this necessary? Is this a necessary thing? Do we really take Sony and Sony stock out of it for a minute and their desire to make more money? Outside of that, as gamers, do we really, is anybody asking for a PS5 Pro?
No, I don't think anybody's asking for it. I especially think that because they have no first party titles coming out until like what, mid to late next year, like people aren't going to be incentivized if I primarily played off of a console, I wouldn't know why I would get a new one. You know, I mean,
right.
I'll just wait until the other games come out. And then if I decide I need to upgrade it, then that's a decision I can make at that time. But
yeah,
what is the trigger for the need is my real question.
I think it's the collectors, the people who want to have all the newest stuff.
Okay.
And then maybe the families that...
But that's not a need. That's not a need, right? Sure.
If we have a family who, you know, the kids are still playing on the PS4 and dad has the PS5 and every time a new one comes out, he upgrades and passes his old one down. Okay. Maybe that's why he does it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's for families, though.
Sure.
You know,
and the collectors, I get it, right?
Yeah, hey, they like having
I always
the new
like
stuff.
Having the latest and greatest, no big deal, right?
I think this is far enough separated from when the PS5 released for those guys that like to buy all the new stuff to make this purchase.
Maybe pony up for it. And,
So
what do you do with your old one? Do you keep it? Do you pass it down? You just keep it? Or, I mean, GameStop even? Yeah, they'll give you $4, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I bet they would $40. I mean, that's my thought is, you know, just go on Facebook Marketplace and resale your old one because there's going to be a parent that couldn't afford the $500 PlayStation when it came out, but they can afford $250. And then more people have access to games.
No.
And this isn't for people that can't afford it. Go on Facebook Marketplace and buy the one that's been used. You know, do your research, make sure it's not a piece of shit. But buy it there. And the guy who doesn't need his PS5 anymore, I mean, before he sells it, maybe plug it in on a TV next to the one you're running the PS5 Pro on and see the difference.
So it kind of blows my mind, and maybe it's my age showing, but I've also got three younger children, and none of them play any handheld games, right? They don't play on the Switch. Yeah, we have a Steam Deck and the ROG.
Are you including Elite, mobile whatever it is, in this?
No, mobile doesn't count. Mobile doesn't count at all. I don't count mobile in any of that stuff.
I don't like to either. But
I don't even count
people
that play games on mobile, gamers, in my opinion. They don't qualify. I mean,
all those Candy Crush enjoyers. There.
Yeah, that's right.
Gamers.
I mean, if you want to lump people, if you're trying to sell a gaming related product and you want to make them make it sound like they're gamers.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, everybody that plays Candy Crush is a gamer in your eyes because you're trying to sell them something.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic. Those people don't even consider themselves gamers. So
handheld consoles,
mobile not included. And I would possibly include like backbone style mobile where you're playing a console game on your phone. That's mobile gaming to me. Like you had a need to include the PlayStation Portal in the mix.
Yeah.
Right. So handheld gaming in that regard, like you couldn't sit in front of your TV with a controller. You had to be somewhere else where you needed to game so bad. And maybe it's because we live in Detroit and we have to drive everywhere. So it's not like we've got time on the subway to play on the Switch. The Xbox potential, like Sony's PlayStation Portal is not portable gaming.
No, you have to be on the like.
Well, you have to have a PlayStation 5 to play it, to use it. It's not stand alone. So that doesn't really count, you know, but a Switch, which, hey, if you want to play on 1980 graphics, that's awesome on an 8-inch screen.
But it's OLED.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. Is that really a thing? Is that really needed?
I think it's a different audience.
I think it's, yeah, just a different, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, none of us play on portable. Like, but I don't use the Steam. I've never used the Steam Deck. I've never used the ROG. I've never used the Switch, unless the Switch has been in the dock and we're playing something, you know, that's on the TV.
Sure.
So the Switch, I think, if I was going to own any console, it would be a Switch, solely because of its entertainment value when you have friends over and the ability to play party games and things like that.
Right? Yeah.
All my other games, I'm fine doing it on PC, but I wouldn't spend the money on an Xbox or a PlayStation, and they also don't really have, like, the party titles. Sure, they have, like, Overcooked and games like that, but the Switch is more catered towards, like, your friends coming over, you guys want to do something together, the Switch is fun, and that's all it's for.
Yeah, you want to play tennis, anybody can pick it up and start playing.
And then the other audience is young kids that go everywhere, and they need to carry a distraction with them because kids can't just look out the window and...
Or read a book.
Yeah. It's a great distraction tool, and it's an introduction to gaming in a very friendly manner.
Sure.
And kids don't need to start on an Xbox. Like,
well, I mean, I know every 7-year old has $300 to spend on a Switch. So clearly the parent is making the decision, right?
It's probably an easier pill to swallow as opposed to a $600 or $700 console.
Without a doubt, right? That needs a TV.
So
to go along with it, right?
Controllers, game. Yep. The Switch needs games too.
I've seen, because I got buddies who have the Steam Deck. I have a couple of them, and they mostly don't use it a lot of the time, except for, like, a good friend of mine, Brody, uses his when he is upstairs with his kids. Like, they're just hanging out upstairs, and he doesn't want to be, like, he wants to be around them just to hang out, and, you know, they're playing games on their TV or something like that, and he can just have his Steam Deck, and he can play, Cyberpunk if he wants to, and he can continue his progress and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's that sort of convenience, you know, for a parent who's hanging out with their young children and they don't want to, like, leave them alone. I still want to play the game, and I have, you know, it's not like they're doing anything crazy, but I have this thing that allows me to play, you know, with them. But then I have other people who, like I said, they've used it once. They don't, you know.
Well, but that's quite a different thing, right? You've got a $300 Switch versus a $800, $700 Steam Deck. That's quite a bit. You've got to be into it to want it. So, I mean, I don't know if I see that coming down the road for any of these platforms outside of Nintendo.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see Xbox or Sony coming out with a dedicated portable device. I mean, maybe Sony's going to bring
Xbox doing it.
What's the Sony one previously?
It was the PSP.
The PSP?
That was... That's a legend when it comes to portable
the
devices.
Discs and everything.
You could play any game you wanted to on that. You could play Sly Cooper, Resident Evil. You had full functionality of that stuff. So I don't think they're ever... I mean, that's the only thing I could see PlayStation doing, and they never will, because that's what people would want. People would want a new PSP, but they're going to come out with a portal that you have to have a PS5 for, and you can't leave your house with it. You know, you can't.
Well, you can, but...
Can you?
It's just not good. Good. It's...
Yeah. I don't see Xbox ever making, like, a handheld console. They have the cloud gaming stuff that they like to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's as far as they're going to go. I don't see Phil Spencer getting up on stage and holding up a Steam Deck-style Xbox device.
I
don't really see
See potentially something that is... I mean, their cloud gaming variation is probably the best there is right now. I could see a cloud gaming device... where it is run off the back end servers that you that doesn't require a...
Like a Stadia, you think?
Like a Stadia portable.
Okay.
I could see that. You look at Steam stats, right? And 97%, I think it is, are running Windows. Right.
Yeah.
So 97% of the millions of people on Steam are running Windows. Right. So basically, we call it PC gaming, but it's Windows gaming.
Yeah.
You're playing on Windows at the end of the day. At that point, you need to just go, okay, listen. And Sony won't even admit that. Right. Like, hey, we're bringing our games to PC. No, you're bringing them to Windows, which is ironically owned by Microsoft, who you were just fighting with. Because they wanted to buy Activision. So just embrace the idea that everything should be on PC. Let's get rid of consoles and have somebody develop a $500 PC that's 4 years old equivalent of a PC, right? That you can stick under your TV and you can have every PC manufacturer from Lenovo to HP to Asus making a PC that fits under your, a PC console.
Like the Xbox PC?
Yeah, basically, there you go. Right? And you just need, the only thing you need to do is gatekeep things that you don't want them to do. Like, hey, if you don't want them to do mods because Lenovo won't support modded games on your console, then that needs to be a thing. But that's a Windows restriction, right? We can do that that way.
Yeah. So what you're saying is PlayLabs is coming out with the Xbox PC here
next year. I'm saying that I'm calling that as well. I'm calling the $700 PlayStation Pro, and I'm calling that give it maybe 5 years, and there'll be a unification of gaming, which would make everybody happy.
I think
developers especially.
As a side note, right, like that's what a lot of developers you see deal with and their biggest issue. Cyberpunk had a lot of issues because they were developing for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, Stadia, like PC. So like interesting.
But that's it. That's funny. You mentioned five consoles and PC. You didn't mention, oh, they're developing for 3060, 3070, 3090, 3080. Right. It doesn't, you don't have, or AMD, Intel.
Yeah.
None of that matters.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have the minimum specs or not?
Exactly. Right.
That's all it is.
That's it.
But like that caused them a lot of grief down the road because they were just, you were spread thin. You had developers making it for every console under the sun, and then it came out the way it did. I don't see GTA 6, going back to that real quick, I do not see it coming out just for the PS5 Pro, if that's it. I'm sure it'll come out. I would say I'd see it for Xbox Series X and S and PS5. I don't even know if I'd see it for PS4.
What would be the damage of them not releasing to previous generations?
I think you'd get a lot of backlash online from people, you know, complaining about it. I don't know
There'd be a lot, but they'd still make, I think they'd still make the
I don't
same
think
money.
It would hurt them in the long run. I don't think it'd bother them at all. I mean,
the people that want to play it are going to buy the minimum spec console
to play it,
to be able to play it.
Well, because
so if I were Sony and PlayStation, I would subsidize that. Don't develop it for older versions because you're going to help us sell more new consoles.
Right. Well,
right?
I mean, at the end of the day, right? If it's going to be as good as it, as everybody is saying it, you know, it should be. I mean, why would you want to play it on a console that is that old anyway, right?
Because you can't afford a new one.
That's, yeah, well, you can't find
You can
it.
Afford a, what do you think GTA 6 is coming out at, $80?
I would say it'll be like 70, whatever the current.
Yeah, I think there'll be a $100 version.
Yeah, yeah, but oh, yeah, they'll probably have like a $250 like collector's edition.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean,
they have a collector's edition.
I think
five.
They've done that.
I don't know if they did it for two or Red Dead 2. I don't remember if they had one for GTA 5.
Yeah.
Regardless,
yeah,
a $70 game is cheaper than a $70 game and a new console. For the people that, if they don't release it for PS4 or whatever, or a previous generation that want the game and need a reason to upgrade, then you just bundle it and you say, okay, you can get this new console that you want, and we'll throw in GTA 6 with it.
Which is subsidized, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening is they're saying, hey, somebody's subsidizing it one way or the other, because nobody's going to say, well, we're going to lose money to get gamers involved. Unfortunately, that's not how that works, but
you're not going to see like a PS4 Pro bundled with a, you know,
no.
GTA 6 or anything like that, right?
Yeah, but at
like,
a certain point, right, you've got to go, we've got to cut it off. You know, there are minimum specs. The minimum specs on the PC side always make me laugh. I'm like, if you look at some of these games and you go, seriously? I would love to get a PC that matches those minimum specs and try and play this game. It's like, oh, yeah, it boots up. I mean, you can't move because it's so incredibly slow.
No shadows, you know? No textures, exactly. Minimum resolution.
It's 8-bit.
I think the recommended, because now a lot of developers are coming out with, you know, those basically, you know, spec charts, right?
Yeah,
so, you know,
sure.
Do you want to play it at 4K? Do you want to have ray tracing? All that sort of stuff. I think the recommended I saw back in the day for Cyberpunk, the CPU was an i7-6700.
You ready for this?
Like,
wow.
The minimum spec recommendations for League of Legends is an Intel Core i3, 2 GB of RAM, AMD Radeon 6570 NVIDIA GeForce 9600 GT Intel
9600. That was like the GPU I had in my first computer.
It's 60 gigabytes. That was like 10 HDD 12 years ago. For storage.
Yeah.
That's 60, the minimum. That's the minimum for Lee. The recommended is an i5 and a 6950 or a GeForce 560.
So, I mean, you're building a $500 PC to play League.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That
if
should...
Not, if not potentially cheaper.
Right, it might even be cheaper than that, yeah. For sure. Right? So, I don't know. I think there's a false economy being generated there. Like, oh, you need to have these. That's why when they talked about the rumored specs for this PS5 Pro, they had to throw numbers at it.
Yeah.
Right. It's 45% faster. That's the same thing they do with every iPhone is, oh, this one's the fastest iPhone ever. Well, it should be. It's brand new.
It's the newest one.
You know?
Any guesses is the minimum specs for Warzone? Completely different type of game. The CPU.
Guess. i5.
I would say, yeah, CPU is probably an
i5. i3-6100 or i5. Yeah.
Okay.
RAM, 8 gigs. They recommend you have up to 32 gigabytes for high-res assets.
Okay.
Sure, that's...
Makes sense.
And then video card guesses.
Minimum?
I'm going to say minimum specs probably a...
20-something, right?
Well, for a minimum, I would say maybe a 1080 or 2060.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 2060.
NVIDIA GTX 960.
What?
AMD 470.
I'm calling BS. That's the
minimum.
No, yeah.
That's the minimum specs for Warzone.
So minimum is like 1080p 30 FPS usually is what they mean.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah
but
yeah.
Even then, I don't think you're getting that with that
built.
I don't.
Yeah, right. That's pushing it, right?
So it almost seems like they're, I don't know, they're making people buy, if they're trying to get into PC gaming because they want to play it on there, they might be buying something that's not even close.
You have to define minimum, right? Like, minimum is everything set to the lowest it could possibly be.
The game boots up.
It boots up.
The game boots up.
Yeah.
Hey.
After that, good luck.
That's right.
This podcast is produced by Podcast Nation. Just like great gamers are made at Playlabs, great podcasts are made at Podcast Nation. Visit us at podcastnation.com to learn more.
When did the PS5 not meet minimum specs?
Right.
Right? It's going to meet minimum specs based on this kind of conversation. It's going to meet minimum specs for the next 8 years. Again, is anybody going... Every time I boot up my PS5, it's so slow and the graphics suck. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that says that. But Sony's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, sales are starting to slow down, so we're going to give you something else to buy. And yeah. That's the way they've been doing TVs for years, and I think they're losing money on their TV business anyway, so I wouldn't really use them as a good basis.
Well, and maybe that's why they don't want to do away with the consoles, because when your console starts to slow down, what do you do? You can't really self-diagnose. You could send it in to get refurbished. I had a couple of refurbished Xbox 360s after the Red Ring of Death.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a PC where you could figure out what needs to be fixed or very affordably go and have it diagnosed. And they're like, oh, you need to upgrade this component.
Yeah.
You don't have that capability. You can't open up your PS5. We don't recommend you open up your PS5 and like swap something out and then it's good to go. But with PC, you can do that. So what's your option if your PS5 does start to slow down or has an issue? Send it in. Or just go buy the next one.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I don't see the appeal to anybody who has a PS5 to get the new one. Just because you have to go. I mean, any game that you're going to want to play on there is already out. You've already played it on there, and you've seen how it runs. So then maybe that's their marketing, right? Is you've seen like this is what you're experiencing with this now with your PS5 when you play Warzone.
Mm.
But if you get the Pro. Here's what you're going to get as well. You know, you're going to get...
I mean, you're still going to miss your shots because, you know.
Well, you know, I think that's more of the, I guess, question for people to ask themselves, right? I mean, what game am I going to play on here that I need to have a $600 upgraded console for? And will I be able to tell, right?
Right.
Will I be able to see this massive improvement in quality or fidelity?
If you look up a lot of those, and I can't remember the name of the site that used to do that all the time, that compared the graphics, right? What I used to do when they did that, like, hey, here's the Xbox One X. I think that's what it was, right?
Yes.
So it was the Xbox One X versus the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
And here's a screen grab from pick a game, whatever.
I've seen those.
And they put them side by side, mm-hmm. right? And I used to look at that, and I really quick, and I cover it up to see which one was which, to not see which one was which. And I'd look at it and I'm like, I don't know.
And try to tell.
I can't tell the difference.
Right.
Like nothing here. Well, but yeah, but look, you can see the shadow of that one leaf.
It's like a spot the difference
picture. Right, it is. Yeah, it's exactly right. What I was going for. Yeah, it's like, okay, but look at, you can see this shadow here that you don't see on that. I'm like, you know what? In the middle of the frenzy of the game that this is playing, I'm not going to notice that that leaf was falling in the background. I really don't care. But if I'm going to sit here and watch it like a movie, then of course I want the best view and experience that I can find. But I'm playing the game. You know, whether or not I can see drops of sweat on Ellie's face or not is not really going to change the game for me.
Like if I'm playing a game on my PC, I want it to just look as pretty as possible because I love how developers can make games look. Like Cyberpunk's a great example of that, right? I just love the entire vibe of it, this neon-soaked city all the time. It's always raining in some respects, so there's these great reflections and all the lighting and stuff like that, and the shadows and whatnot. And like we said earlier, you notice it the first time, and like for me, that it sticks with me of like, this feels great. Everything in it looks, it all serves a higher purpose of feeling in the world, being immersed. And then that's like where I get that sort of enjoyment from of, like, I wouldn't enjoy it as much if I was taken out of it because, people are disappearing in the background because the game can't, have as many people on screen or something like that. Right. Then it takes you out of it. I want to see the people who are complaining about the performance of a PS5 right now when they play Cyberpunk. Yeah. And
asking for a pro version.
And then I'd like to see those people play it on the pro, and can you really tell the difference? Can you really see any sort of
I want to do what people deem as terrible, but I also deem it as a check. It's like, okay, yep. So we booted up Cyberpunk on the PS5 Pro. What do you think? And they go, oh my gosh, it's amazing. It looks great or whatever. And you pull back the veil and you're like, it's still a PS5.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. So you're full of shit.
Yeah, you don't even know that it's been.
Like, you've been,
Now, you take one of those people that have been playing on a TV on the PS or the PS5 and you put them in front of like a 3080 with a real nice monitor and a higher refresh rate, and they're going to go, this looks like a totally different game.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would say so, yeah.
I don't know if I would agree with that if you put it on an 80-inch TV. So what they're used to seeing, the way they're used to seeing it, that's a bit of a trick. You're going, all right, well, we're going to put you on a monitor that's designed to be way better than your TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And here you go. I think they're definitely going to like the experience without a doubt. But yeah.
Oh, and you can play
the same thing.
You can play thousands of others free games on this system too.
Play on Evan's or Jack's 3090 and my 4090 and see if you can tell the difference.
Right.
Right. You're probably not going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's another thing too, right? I mean, you can only make this PS5 Pro so good because the TVs aren't going to be able to keep up with this stuff, right? I mean, you could come out and say, yeah, the PS5 Pro plays Warzone at, 180 FPS. What TV?
Yeah.
What TV has a refresh rate that's going to
that can support
this,
it?
It can actually even make a difference. I think one of the TVs we have is it goes up to 120.
240 is the one in the living room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So 120.
But for that reason.
The one I played on when I played God of War, and you could tell, and that looked great. It was very fluid, very.
Right.
It had a lot of different color to it. It had more, I think it was like one of those QLED something like that. So you could see that, but if PS5 Pro comes out and they're like, yeah, we're pushing it up to 8K, 60,
right.
Which is like, okay, 8K 60, get out of here.
So the three people that have an 8K TV can enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. So. it's almost like the tech that's rumored to be in it is too far ahead of everything else. So like, why would you, I don't know why I would buy a 8K capable console when I can't get a, 8K TV or something like that,
Right. So when's the rumored release date? Does anybody know?
Just holidays.
Yeah.
End of this year.
Okay. So we'll see something. They'll probably announce it, sometime in June or July, maybe, to let everybody know, get the hype going, maybe get pre-orders started.
If they
have
intention to maybe sell it around, Black Friday, they could announce it.
That's true.
Yeah, around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the numbers come back like, but I'm curious to, if anybody wants to jump on our Discord and get in this discussion about whether or not a PS5 Pro is... You're longing for a PS5 Pro. I can't wait to talk to that person and have them explain it to me. And then I will, if there's somebody that wants to do that and can justify the reason why I will go buy one and put it side by side with the regular PS5, and I'm going to bring up a game and you're going to guess which one's which. I will do that as a challenge. There's a whole lot of challenges out there. I don't have a lot of takers on these things. If people listen to this stuff, they'd be making out like bandits if they tried. But
no one gave us the name of their Helldiver ship, so no membership given
so
out.
So Panther of Destruction is the leading winner of that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everything's falling off my chair.
Hey, you dropped a mic stand.
I know. My phone fell. I don't know what's next. So, hey, we are out of here for this week. Definitely jump in our Discord and if you have anything to add or ask or anything else for that matter, you can find that in the show notes that are lovingly written by Jared every week. And we are poised for the next episode of Lab Notes being the 420 episode. But we are going to have a special stoner, our favorite stoner, on that episode. We're going to have Jimmy here. So
Jimmy, Evan, and I will... be preparing a special manner for that episode.
There you go. That's right.
There you go. Neil will be the bacon pod facilitator.
Yeah, that's it. Somebody has to stay straight. Right. Hey, the phone's ringing.
Somebody has to direct everybody else.
That's right. All right, hey, we're out of here. Game on.
Thanks for listening to Lab Notes. Visit playlabs.gg to find out more about our programming and schedule. Be sure to join our Discord and pop into the podcast channel to ask us questions or tell us what you think. See you next week. Game on!